got this big old black Bible, and normally I carry an electronic Bible, but a very close friend of mine gave me this Bible, and it's a King James Version, but it's got the large print in it, and these days it helps me a lot to have larger print.
Yeah.
And so thank the Lord for somebody willing to give me a really nice King James Bible, although it's probably not my favorite version. There's lots of things that I really like to read from the King James, especially the Psalms and things like that. I think whoever's listening in online, glad to have you with us too. I'd like to talk about something. I don't know how often people talk about this, but I'd just like to talk about remembering the Bible and the things that we do to try to help us remember where things are in the Bible. You know, sometimes we know, we listen to a lot of sermons in our life. You know, I think about myself. I've been a member of the church for about over 55 years. And over that period of time, I've probably listened to a lot of sermons. And out of all of the Bible study and things that I've done, I probably remember a small amount of it. But there's things that you can do to help you, to help you learn to remember things and to help them stick in your mind. And I could take a Bible and try to have it surgically implanted in my head. It would do no good. But I need the Bible in my head. I need the words of God in my head. I need them. It actually takes on a life of its own. Once you start learning the Bible, it develops and you start thinking godly thoughts. You start thinking about the Bible, things you've read. And I just want to talk a little bit about that this morning. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew and look at chapter 11. And this is one I'm sure that everybody's familiar with. This would be verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Is there anything that we can do to make remembering the Bible easier? This is Proverbs 7. And it starts, my son, keep my words and store my commandments within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your finger. Write them on the tables of your heart. Well, what would make that easy for us to do? What could we do? What do y'all think? What would make that easier? Go ahead.
I think that it becomes more easier when something that you remember in the Bible, you go through an experience and it has a bearing on something that you heard or something that you know that's in the Bible. Especially, say for example, when you are really feeling kind of low, and I can't quote exactly what scripture it is, but I know there's a scripture that says, when you sing, it will lift your spirit. And when you're feeling low, you start to hum a tune, or sometimes when you have a problem with something, you start humming a tune, and it'll kind of dissolve that hard time that you're going through. So when you can experience something that you experience in the Bible, I think it helps you remember a great deal.
Very good. So a song sometimes will help us to learn God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You know the song, I've Been Crucified with Christ? You know that one? Let me sing it to you. Oh boy. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 2, verse 20. All right, I'm going to sing it one more time. Y'all can help me if you'd like. If you're too shy, you don't have to. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I see some people got their Bible open reading it. You have it? Okay. Did I say? What did I say? Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's Galatians 2:20. Sorry. How about the Lord is my shepherd? Does anybody know that song? I'm trying to think if I remember it. I'm trying to think of which version I would remember. Is it in your book, The Lord is my shepherd?
It is.
See if it's in there. I'll take a look. Look in here. Of course, it's from the 23rd Psalm. Most of us know the 23rd Psalm, or at least part of it. Right, there's two versions. The Lord's my shepherd. Okay, let's see, 134. Look at 134, and let's see if that's it. Let me see. So y'all know this song? Let's try it. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. Within the paths of righteousness, e'en for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod, for thou art with me. Staff me comfort still. Yea, though, my table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes, my head thou dost with oil anoint, my head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup. Oh,
forevermore, and in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be.
That does me a lot of good, to sing that particular song. Well, thank you. So there's different ways that we can get Scripture to stick in our mind. And there's good reasons for it. Sometimes, you know, I think about the Bible kind of like a computer program. If you know anything about computers, you put a program in and it runs. And it kind of gives life to the computer. And the Word of God gives life to us. When it dwells in our mind and in our thoughts, it gives us life. It gives us strength. It gives us God's wisdom. It gives us courage. It just helps us. It helps us in our daily lives. And there's different ways that we can get the Scripture in our mind, like I said, with songs. I try to come up with different little songs that I teach children, and I teach, you know, I teach adults if I can get them to be humble enough to do it. Some of it's like taking you back to kindergarten. But there's little songs that teach you things. You know, I could ask you, I could say, well, do you know the names of all 12 apostles? You know, I could ask you that. Is there anybody here that knows the names of all 12 of the apostles?
Mm-hmm. Mark and Luke and John.
Okay. Anybody else want to give it a try? Well, look at Matthew 10, chapter 2. If I'm right, if I remember this one right. Does it say now the names of the 12 apostles are these?
Since I taught my grandchildren and children that song.
Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus. Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. Now, I teach this list in a song. And so I'm going to sing it to you, and then I'm going to see if you'll sing it with me. It's up to you. Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Then came Philip, Thomas too, Matthew, and Bartholomew. James, the one they called the less, Simon, also Thaddeus, the 12th apostle Judas made. Jesus was by him betrayed. Sing it one more time. Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Then came Philip, Thomas too, Matthew, and Bartholomew. James, the one they called the less, Simon, also Thaddeus, the 12th apostle Judas made. Jesus was by him betrayed. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. And they all followed him. Very good. You did good on that one. So we can learn a lot about Scripture and a lot about where it's at in the Bible just from singing it. And so I have a lot of little songs, like I say, that I teach children, and I've also put them on the internet, and I send them around to different people who want to learn them, and it seems to help. At least it helps me. If I had a great scholarly aptitude, I would be able to to remember things real easy, and so I probably wouldn't need these things. But it's tools that help me. It helps me to learn better, and I hope that it will help you. I know a lot of the teenagers that I've taught, they've gone, a lot of them gone on to college, and you know, they'll be given a test right away, you know, on the names of the books of the Bible. And so they know them. You know, we've been singing them for years. They know them. And so they can just write them right on down. And a lot of people, a lot of the students can't do that. And one way, if you want to learn the books of the Bible, is to sing them. And so we usually sing the Old Testament. It goes to the tune of Gilligan's Island. So I'm going to sing it to you. So here it comes. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 2 Samuels, and 2 Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther's the one that saved the Jews, it makes me want to smile, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 2, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, just for you, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea made a wish, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and Jonah got swallowed by a fish, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and don't forget Malachi. You probably know the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and a letter to the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude and Revelation. There you go.
Thank you.
So you put it to music and you can learn it. And if you like these songs, I'll send them to you. I got them on the internet. I can send them to you if you would like to go over them and maybe help you with your. You know, not to say that y'all probably know all the books of the Bible anyway, but it might help you to continue with it and to learn them better, and maybe to teach children and that thing. Remembering the scripture, your imagination has a lot to do with it. You ever heard anybody say that you need to have a good, vivid imagination to remember the scriptures better? Am I the first person that you've ever heard say that? Okay. Well, I'm a little different. I came up a different way. I had a hard time in my life learning things. And so, you know, I had dyslexia. And if you know what that is. And so it's really hard to be a student to learn things, you know, if you can't read. And so I've had to learn a lot of other ways, you know, to do it. And, you know, over the years, I've learned to read. You know, I read real thick books, David McCullough books, you know, all kind of different things. But it takes me a long time, you know, to read them. So there's a lot of easier ways to learn things and to get them to stick in your mind. You know, they used to say, you know, if you throw a dirt clod against a wall, a brick wall, some of it will stick and some of it falls off. Well, that's the way it is a lot of times with information that you hear. You sit down and you hear all these sermons being preached, and you may or may not remember, you know, what you were taught. So there's different ways to get that memory to stick, you know, to get that thing to stick in your mind. Part of that is having a very vivid imagination. When I was a boy, I guess I was about 7, we got our first television. It was black and white. We could get one channel, and that, and you remember what they call snow? I mean, people these days may not know what snow is on the television. You know what it is? It's when the picture's kind of snowy. Looks like a snow coming down. Anyway, that's the way our television was. We lived up between two mountains, and our television, all we could see was snow. We could get one channel, and barely see it with all the snow on it, and you could hear most of what was being said, but it was sad. But then, you know, later on, moved to Hopewell, and we got a better television. Well, we had the same television, but we got a better reception. We got three channels in, and we could see it. You actually see what's going on. You can see the outline with the snow and all. But that was good to us because that's all we had. But your imagination can be vivid like these televisions we have today. The television you have today, you know, in high definition and all that, it's very, very vivid. You know, you can see really well. Your imagination is like that. If you cultivate your imagination, you can make it to where it's very vivid. You know, you can see things very vividly. And that's what helps you understand and helps the Bible stick in your mind. How many people know where the fruits of the Spirit are located in the Bible? Okay, you got it. I'm running out of time. Well,
yes.
What time is this normally in?
15 minutes.
Okay, good. Okay, Galatians. You know where that the fruit of the Spirit's in Galatians chapter 5. Okay. How many other people know that? Okay. I'm gonna give you my method of remembering where that's at. Now, we have to use our imagination. And you not only use your imagination, but it has to be very vivid. You have to see what I'm going to describe to you very vividly in your mind. Now, imagine in your mind a 5-gallon fruit jar. You're starting to get it? You see the blue in the glass? It's kind of got a blue tint to it. And on the front, it's got 5-G-A-L. Under that. Got it? Think about it. Get it in your head. A 5-gallon fruit jar. Do you see it? Can you close your eyes and see that fruit jar in front of you with that blue tint to it, that beautiful glass and that 5-G-A-L? Now, imagine a little girl's dancing skirt around the bottom, very lacy and beautiful, and a tutu, right? Little girl's dancing skirt. We call it a tutu. Get that in your mind. You got this 5-gallon fruit jar, and you got this little tutu around it. Are you seeing it? Is it coming into your mind? You seeing it very vividly? Is there any snow involved or black and white? You got it? Okay. 5-G-A-L. Hi there. 5-G-A-L. Galatians 5. The skirt is 22. Okay. Think about the fruit of the Spirit being in there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is in this jar. So the next time that somebody mentions the fruit of the Spirit, remember this jar. And remember that beautiful tutu on it. And think about Galatians 5:22. That's what I do, and it helps me remember it. Of course, I've taught this to a lot of teenagers and young people, and it helps them to remember it. So if it will help you, then I'm doing my job this morning. There's other verses that I have that I use like that. Another one is where it says in the Bible that the Bible is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Where that's at. Somebody just ask you, where is that at, without having to look it up. Okay, here we go. Get your imaginations out. Get your thinking cap on. You need all the imagination you can focus right now. Imagine a beautiful sword, gold, sparkling, with a hilt that's been engraved. It's just beautiful. You're looking at it, that it's sharp. The edges of it are sharp. And then, on top of it is a dozen eggs sitting in a carton with the top open. Got this beautiful two-edged sword with eggs sitting on top. And then, 5 cups of coffee sitting on top. Coffee. This coffee is made just the way you like it. How do you like your coffee? Huh?
I like my hazelnut creamer.
Hazelnut creamer. Huh?
What?
Anybody else? Imagine this 4 cups of coffee. You see it steaming there. And it's just the way you like it. Hazelnut, flat, or other ways. You know. Tammy, she likes to put a lot of diet sweetener in it and cream, iced mocha. Okay. So there are your 4 cups of coffee, just like you like them. Sitting on top of this dozen eggs, sitting on top of this sword. You reach over, you touch the edge of the sword, cut your finger, and you see the blood drips down and hits on top of the eggs. So that's the end of this mind map. Whole story right there. Let's go through it. Got a beautiful sword. Got a dozen eggs. You got 4 cups of coffee set at the top. Just the way you like it. See the steam coming off. Beautiful. You got it in your mind? Can you vividly think of this? Is it coming to you? Is it coming? You see the snow? Or is it coming in clear? All right. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is quick to discern the intents and thoughts of the heart. And we know that scripture. We quote it all the time. This is where it's at. 4 cups of coffee. He brews. You brew coffee, right? He brews. He brews coffee. So the coffee is he brews because you brew it. He brews how many?
Four.
Hebrews 4. What's it sitting on?
12.
A dozen eggs. So, Hebrews 4, 12. That's where that scripture's at. If you think about this, it might seem a little silly, but if you think about this tomorrow, about the 4 cups of coffee, the dozen eggs, and the sword tomorrow, and you think about it the next day, just one time or twice a day, you will never in your life ever forget it. Just like that dirt plug you throw against the brick wall. It sticks, and it won't come off. It won't come off. The reason is the vivid imagination connected with the movement. Action. You know, you cut your finger and you saw the blood. All of that, and you see the steam. All of that gets in your mind and causes it to stick. And it won't come out. And you'll never, when somebody asks you about that scripture, you'll always know where it's at. And so that's another tool that you can use to get the Bible to stick in your mind. So you'll have it there. You need it. God told us, you know, He told us that we need His Word in our mind. And to write it on the tables of our heart and to say unto wisdom, you are our sister. Call understanding your kinsmen, so they might keep you from the evil things that happen. So when you need the Word of God, it's too late to go grab a Bible and try to find it. You need to have it in your brain already. Have it there, ready to go at a moment's notice. And this is just another way that you can do to get it to stick in your brain.
Is that Hebrews 12:4?
Hebrews 4:12.
4:12.
Yeah. Sorry. Hebrews 4:12. Look at the coffee, and then the eggs, and then the sword. That gives you the whole thing right there. And Hebrews 4:12. How many of you have ever used a computer program to study the Bible? You have?
Mm-hmm.
You have? How does it work?
Not very well.
Okay, not very well. What kind of program do you have?
I just use my phone.
Oh, your phone? Okay. How about you?
I usually go to Google.
Google?
I use it actually a lot to prep for ladies' class. When I teach a ladies' class,
mm-hmm.
I go there a lot and also research Christian writers
mm-hmm.
and what they have to say about certain scriptures you might try and teach. I find it very helpful.
Google.
Mm-hmm.
Google's a good one. I usually just say, you know, like if I think of a couple of verses and a couple of words to the verse, you know, like, let's see one. Love one another with all your heart. Let's try that one. Hey, Google, love one another with all your heart. If my phone is on.
Siri is another good.
Might not be connected good here. We'll see. We're going to try it, though. Hey, Google. Love one another with all thine heart.
These came back from a search.
Okay, I got Matthew 22, verse 37. Anybody want to look that up? That's pretty good, isn't it? All I had to do was say a couple of words, and it looked it up.
Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.
That's something, isn't it? That you can just say a few words and Google will find it for you. I've been in teaching in this class many times, and we'll come up with a scripture and we can't think of where it's at, and so we just Google it, and it'll come right up. So that's another tool for you to use when you're studying the Bible to help you to learn it better. How many of you listen to the Bible on a daily basis? You do? You do? What do you use?
There's a couple of ways I used to listen, because I'm in the same boat as you were in. Growing up, you remember that. I used to have the old cassette tapes, so I listen to those all the time. Now you have the little black box that has the whole Bible on it.
Like a Go Bible?
Go Bible, yeah.
You have one? How many people here have a Go Bible? What were the ones we had, those little red ones? What were they called? That wasn't a Go Bible. It was, we used to have these little red boxes that had the entire Bible on it, and we would let people borrow them, you know. They would borrow those, and they'd take them home, you know, and sit and listen to the Bible on them. If you've never seen one, you can get it on, if you can get it on Amazon, they're, you know, $35 or something like that. And they got the whole Bible on it in this little thing and a bunch of other extra stuff too. And you just punch a few buttons, you know, and once you learn how to punch the buttons and get it to come up, you can listen to anything in the Bible you want to. I have one that I use in my shop at home. It's a little square, it's a Go Bible, a little square one, got a little readout on it. And I can hit a couple buttons and bring the scriptures up, and I can listen to the Bible. You know, if I'm doing something that's not real loud, you know, if I'm not cut, I use a lot of saws and things, and so they're really loud. But if I'm doing something kind of quiet, you know, sanding or something like that, or just maybe just sitting down and take a break. These days I find that I need a break quite often. I'm not as strong as I used to be, and so a lot of times I'll do some work and I get tired. I sit down, I'll listen to my Go Bible for a few minutes, you know. Wonder Bible. That's the name of that little red one, Wonder Bible. And Tammy probably could tell you how to order it if you want one. But that's another tool that we can use to get the Bible in our mind. And it's important. It's really important to do this. You know, as a Christian, I mean, I don't know whether you do it. Like I say, some of you say you're doing it, some of you maybe not. It is very important to have the Bible get in your mind. And like I say, I can't surgically have it stuck in there. I've got to get it in there some other way. So listening, and Brian, I'm sure can tell you this, listening to the Bible on a daily basis, or when you're traveling, or when you're just sitting somewhere doing something with handwork, like you're doing some knitting, crocheting, or maybe some sewing or something like that, just sit and let the Bible play in the background. You'll be surprised how much of it will enter your brain and help you in your daily life by giving you courage and strength and wisdom and stronger love just by listening to it. You're taking a trip somewhere anywhere, and you know, rather than turning on the radio and listen to some of those cool tunes, turn on the Bible and listen to that. Well, you can do it on your phone. You know, I have it on my phone. I have a program that I like really well, but I can't always get it. You know, the internet doesn't always come in so well. Here's Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells big, and you did not plant and satisfied. Careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God.
I'm going to come back, go back to another scripture if I can. See if I can.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That tells us right there that the Word of God is very important. And it's very important for us to get it into our mind and keep it there. So these are just some ideas, some ways that you can do that. And hopefully and prayerfully, that I've helped you a little bit to know a little bit more about those things. But I can't make you do that. I can't force you to study the Bible or to listen to the Bible on a daily basis. All I can do is just ask you, would you please listen to the Bible on a daily basis and get it in your mind, because it'll help you every day of your life. It'll cause you to be a better person. It'll cause you to be happier. It'll cause you to help others better. And it'll cause you to have a better relationship with God. You need to get it in your mind somehow. And if you're already struggling with it, like Brian, and I can tell you some of the things that we've gone through in our lives. And that's why that I found these tools. Because without them, I would be in a world of hurt. And it's helped me to learn to read better. It's helped me to learn God's Word better. And it's just helped me in my life a lot. So I leave you with this scripture. Well, a couple of scriptures. Luke chapter 6, 12 through 13. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Have you ever spent the night praying to God?
Oh, yeah.
Something we need to do. That'll help you with your Bible study. To pray a lot. And spend a lot of time doing it. It's not just good enough to pray sitting at the table when you have your meals or when you go to bed at night. Or maybe when you get up in the morning. We need to find ourselves out by ourselves somewhere praying. And I mean really pouring it out to God and letting God help us in the ways that we need. Prayer will help you in your ability to remember the scriptures and to grow spiritually with it. Luke 18, 1 through 2. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. I'm not going to talk, I don't have time to talk about that parable, but the gist of it was that the person kept coming back, and the person that was trying to go to got tired of him coming back and went ahead and did what he wanted to. And that's the way we need to be with God sometimes. We need to keep going back. When you don't get something right the first time, go back. Keep going. Don't stop. And God will eventually. Well, he hears you the first time, but he may be just waiting to see how many times you're going to come back. Keep coming back. And he's going to do that. It's about time for us to end, right? I think so. So I'm going to ask one of you fine brothers if you would lead us in a closing prayer for our Bible class, and then we'll get ready for the service here in a minute.
I do.
Okay, thank you.
He was wholly humble and everlasting Father, come to you this fine Lord's Day. Thank you, Brother Meadows and his wife, for coming over today, being with us. I've learned a lot in this class this morning, and I think it is a good idea. God made us all different. And every person can use the Bible to their advantage. And that suits them. I thank God for His Word. I thank you for people like Brother Meadows and my friend Melvin and Brother McDaniel. I thank all these brothers who have come over here. Bless them. Keep them in your care.
Yes.
Have mercy upon us all. Strengthen us where we weak. This is my prayer. I ask it all in your son's name. King Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.